You may hear the water in the background. That's always a good sign. So if you were able to be with us in the second service last week, you saw what happened. The Goodmans came forward, promised a letter from Morse Mill. We praise God for that. Amen, church?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand on that. And then we shared with you about Brooklyn coming up and saying, I want to get baptized next week. That's here. So we're ready, and we're going to baptize her at the end of services. We're just thrilled to have her part of our family. I shared with the first service, and I think it's something that we need to share pretty often. If you've been able to be here any length of time, then you know that this doesn't happen every Sunday. I believe it's something that can happen every Sunday. You can maybe even argue that it's something that should happen every Sunday. With that said, you know as well as I do that it's not something that you and I can control. Salvation is from God. God controls that. And God, I believe God controls where people go once they're saved as far as their churches. When someone comes to, quote, unquote, check us out as a possible home church, I always tell them, if the Holy Spirit wants you here, we want you here, type thing. And if not, this may simply be a respite for you. It may be a place of healing, whatever the case may be. It may be a place for you to say, well, I didn't have it so bad the other church. I don't know. You never know. Sometimes you're an example of what not to do. I get that. But with that said, I believe that the Holy Spirit is king in those matters. And so we should never take for granted any and every time God adds to His church. Should never take that for granted. We should always be appreciative and give Him the credit and the glory. A few glorified announcements that are extremely important to the month of May. Tonight, there will not be a 5:30 service. We're in, if you will, flux between Easter walk and the summer schedule and the such. So we're figuring those things out. As soon as we have that schedule slotted, we will be announcing that and the such. But for the month of May, I want you to know what's going on. So tonight, we'll worship at 6:30. Next Sunday's Mother's Day. If you have not assigned your beautiful child up to be dedicated, we would love for you to do that. And so, in other words, you've had a baby between last May and now. We would love for you to dedicate that child to the kingdom of God. And we've got a very special way we do that in both services, whatever the case may be. And then that evening, we dismiss both 5:30, 6:30, we dismiss so that you can spend that time with your moms. The following weekend is homecoming. So on homecoming, we're celebrating our beginnings, our birth, if you will, 120 years. And so that evening will be no evening worship services. For time and memorial, we've canceled on that evening. So the following Sunday, which, get ready for it, is the last Sunday in May. It's Christmas, folks. It's here. Thank you for laughing. Some of you are moaning. I get it. Well, the last Sunday in May, we're going to have a very special, special service. We did not announce it in first service because I had to check with the person to make sure it was all copacetic. Mandy Dolworth is going to a volunteer student mission trip, and we're going to be commissioning her that evening and supporting her in that trip. Diane, help me. When is your trip to Louisiana?
Homecoming weekend.
So we need to be praying for her. Who's going with you?
Jackie
Woodcock's going with her. And so we're supporting anybody and everybody that's doing mission, short-term mission trips. With that said, we want to send Mandy off. I think it's a week long. She'll be telling us all about that. And we will have our chili cook-off in conjunction with that. Because I've been Baptist all my life. One thing I know about Baptists, you like to eat. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
And chili's something you like to eat. And some of you have really good recipes out there and the such. So it's just a simple, fun competition, but we will do that in conjunction with our commissioning service. One of the bloopers in a bulletin years ago was chili supper, music to follow. Some of you got it. All right. Oh, groans throughout the congregation. Come on, tough crowd. All right, let's all stand. We're going to switch gears now. We're going to get spiritual, Lord willing. Galatians chapter 6. We started a very, very small series because we're ending today. But last week, AM, PM services, and tonight, or I'm sorry, this morning is going to finish this going through Galatians 6. So, as you know, it's Paul's, it's his habit to hit the doctrinal first about a particular issue, and then he gives the practical. And certainly, Paul is doing that, but he's wrapping up the doctrinal issue of adding anything to salvation. And we talked last week about the context is king. And even though the three verses, three of the four that we read last week in this service can stand on their own, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. That pretty well applies across the board, but he put it in context of don't add anything to Christ's salvation. Well, now all of a sudden, pretty important. And then he went from there. So we're going to review that in just a moment. But today, we're going to get the rest of the story as to how Paul approaches the cross. Start with me, if you would, in verse 6 of Galatians chapter 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. The simple title: Jesus, keep me near the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. First of all, just want to share with you in way of review, there are two religions in this world. And yes, obviously, I'm summing it up, that you can lump all of the religions in two categories. The first category is the category that you and I would hopefully assign ourselves to. And yes, you know it's a well-stated thing that I want you to be prepared at Thanksgiving or Christmas or at work or at school or at neighborhood that when your friend, neighbor, or relative says, well, I don't like organized religion, you do what Brad does and say, well, I don't either. And then they say, well, wait a minute, you go to church. Yes, I do, but our church isn't anything apart of, quote, unquote, the failed organized religion. Our church is a part of Christianity. And so this is the first religion, the religion of divine accomplishment. The religion of divine accomplishment. The better name for that is Christianity, and it's God's attempt to get to man. That is number one. Number two, all the rest of religions, whether they're worshiping Satan, whether they're worshiping Buddha, whether they're worshiping Muhammad, Doesn't matter. All the other religions go into this one. The religion of human achievement. Well, I'm going to go to heaven because I've done, fill in the blank. I'm going to go to heaven because I believe, fill in the blank. The religion of human achievement. And church, this is what Paul is teaching, writing, and preaching against. If you are in the religion of human achievement, you have a place of eternal punishment waiting for you after death. If you are in the religion of divine accomplishment, you have a climate-controlled place waiting on you after death. It's that serious. It's that serious that you and I be able to talk this with your friends, neighbors, and relatives. And so we covered last Sunday, AM and PM services, that God is not mocked by the religion of works. He takes it very seriously when someone adds or takes away from His Son's sacrifice. If you sow to the flesh for your salvation, well, I was baptized. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you just got wet. Baptism is not enough. It's a work. Well, I've done more good things than bad things. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. If you sow to human achievement, if you sow to flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. One fellow put it this way, I got to the end of my rope trying to do my own thing, and once I saw the cross of Christ, I just let go. I just let go, and Christ caught me, and He saved me. You know, we talk about, well, a person has to get to their bottom before they'll, and I've seen it over and over, but watch this, church. I believe you can determine your own bottom. I did some 12, 15 years ago over in that kitchen. I hit bottom, said some things, did some things, threatened some things that if I would have acted on any of them would have destroyed my family, my ministry, my life. That's my bottom, church. I'm done. By God's grace, I'm going to go up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. And you can do that too. And every person that you meet and you reach, well, they haven't hit bottom yet. Well, I get that, but man, you need to tell them. You can decide. I've hit bottom. I've hit bottom. And I'm looking up from here. By God's grace, I'm going to move forward. The Spirit of God, when you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. Oh, I just got to tell you this. The guy that was preaching when I accepted Christ as my Savior, A.D. Livingston, couldn't read, had a third grade education maybe. He was known as a bar brawler, and he had gotten married to a faithful, faithful Baptist. And she prayed and prayed and prayed, and he got saved. And he didn't just get saved. The old saying is, he got saved all over. And he started having his precious wife read to him, because he couldn't read himself. And he literally learned how to read by listening to her read the Bible. And he went to Moody Bible Institute and passed with flying colors, got his degree, not being able to read because his wife would read to him. And of course, eventually, he got it. And when he would preach, we even in college, we went to write down all of the scripture verses in his sermons. We quit counting at 120 verses in one of his sermons. And he had a speech impediment. He couldn't say scripture, so it's scripture. I'll tell you this scripture right here, and he'd quote it. I mean, never looked at his Bible. He sowed under the Spirit. And he reaped life everlasting. And then he says, do not grow weary, standing for true salvation. For in due season, you shall reap. Church, we don't see people get saved every week. But we do see people get saved some weeks. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Please don't get me wrong. I think we should pray that we see people saved every week. I believe you have not because you ask not, and the such. And I believe when we all start agreeing, we'll start seeing more action possibly. And I'm not getting onto anybody. When one finger goes out, three come back. If we will not grow weary in well-doing, we will reap in due season. Then he says, encourage the brothers that are keeping the faith. Do good unto all men, but especially help those brothers that are holding the line. If CNN, MSNBC, any of those groups were to come in here today, they wouldn't agree with what I say. And we would be made a laughingstock, so on and so forth. But God will bless us no matter what the crowd thinks. And you and I have to hold the line. And then in the evening service, we covered these thoughts in the scripture. I have written in my own hand, Paul is saying, I know the letters are big, he's saying, because I can't hardly see, but I've written this in my own hand because it's so important. Don't you give up, even though those Judaizers are pressing you to be circumcised to get saved. Do not leave the true gospel. Remember, he wasn't saying that for their benefit. They had truly been saved. He was saying that for their kids' benefit, for their grandkids' benefit, for the people that they're going to win to Christ. Stay true to the true gospel. And then he says, these are the three reasons why these people are pushing this on you. Number one, religious pride. They are so proud of their system that they are rejecting God's system. Church, we're in trouble when we want to stay true to something that we obviously know biblically is wrong. Just because, well, that's just the way it is. That's religious pride. Cowardice. I want to read that verse to you again. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Folks, those Judaizers saw the very people that they were persecuting. They saw them losing their jobs, losing their health, losing their wealth, losing their family. Watch this. They saw them in some cases losing their life. And they thought, you know what? I saw it in my own eyes. I saw Jesus crucified. I saw him after he rose from the dead. But I'm not giving all that up. In church, what kind of, I'm just trying to really be careful here because I don't want to be insensitive. But what kind of common sense is it to see that if you give up a few days, weeks, months, years of quote unquote comfortable living to gain eternity, why is that not worth it? And several, well, these people at Galatia, they had determined it is worth it. But they were struggling as any of us would. And so Paul is trying to encourage them. Not only religious pride and cowardice, but also hypocrisy. Look at this. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. There were 10 commandments in the Old Testament. During the 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew, the rabbis, the scribes and Pharisees, added 200 and something positive laws and 400 to 500 something negative laws to 10. And so Paul is saying they themselves are not keeping their own law, but they're telling you that you've got to be saved. They're hypocrites. Now, we get blasted for that all the time. The reality is, watch this. How many of you ever heard the message one way or another from the world, you can do whatever you want to do? You ever heard that? Anybody? Yeah, the world tells us, go for it. Go for it. You want to be this? Go for it. You can do it. But I got a question for you. You heard of the name Harvey Weinstein? He wanted to abuse women. Hashtag me too. And here we go. And I'm not making fun of that. I'm telling you, the world is the biggest hypocrite of all. They tell you we should be free to do whatever we want to, but then when you go do it, watch what happens. You're in trouble. And the Holy Spirit says, how about this? Watch this. True freedom, ladies and gentlemen. True freedom is not the freedom to do what you want. True freedom is the freedom to do what you ought. And God gives you and I that kind of freedom. That leads us to this. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Because, point number one, it has the power to free men from this world's bondage. Look at verse 14 again. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It has the power to free men from this world's bondage. I want to share with you the words of John MacArthur. And this explains from the Bible the world system. The world, the word world, translates cosmos, the opposite of chaos, from which we get the English chaos, and speaks of an ordered system. Our word cosmetic, derived from cosmos, has the basic meaning of covering up disorder with something that brings order. And a little aside here, my former pastor at Temple would always encourage all the ladies, keep putting that makeup on, ladies. It saved a lot of marriages. I would never say that, but I'm just telling you, he would say that all the time. Yeah. Yeah. The nerve. All right, here we go. In the New Testament, I notice only the men are laughing. In the New Testament, cosmos refers to the order of the evil world system ruled by Satan and his agents. The life of a person apart from Jesus Christ is the life of a victim of that system. It is a meaningless life. And this isn't meant to be hateful. We're trying to be descriptive. A life with no hopeful plan, purpose, or reason for being. It is also a life ruled by the flesh, which naturally and inevitably follows the system of evil promoted by the world, whether in gross immorality or simply in day-to-day self-gratification. The person without Christ is often haunted by the past. He cannot free himself from the guilt of things he has done and failed to do, yet he has no way of relieving his guilt or his anxiety. He is often enthralled with the future, continually expecting tomorrow to bring better things or more meaning, but it never does. And the life becomes a pile of frustrated dreams. Or he may decide hedonistically to live just for the day, taking all he can while he can, because physical life is all he can see or cares about. He declares with the ancient Greeks, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. In one way or another, every unbeliever is in bondage to the futilities and frustrations of this world. And I could not agree more. R.G. Lee said it this way: the devil will feed you his corn, and then he will choke you with the cob. And that is what this world does. The world puts all the things that your body gravitates toward, the appetites of the eye, the appetites of the flesh, and then it says, sorry, here's the consequences for all of that sin. It's so important that you and I not give in to this, but there's only one way to defeat and beat the world's system. And that way, ladies and gentlemen, is the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. But God forbid, Paul says, that I should glory, that I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Here it is, under point number one. The cross has the power to free men from this world's bondage. The world's hold on us is broken. The devil can't make you and I do anything anymore. The world can't make you and I do anything anymore. Your flesh cannot make you do anything anymore. The world's hold on you has been broken because of the finished work of the cross. That's where he says, the world has been crucified unto me. But then he turns it around. And I've been crucified unto the world. Watch this. We're fitting to get happy if we're Baptist at all. You don't have to have the desire anymore either. You don't. You know what one of the biggest struggles for me when I was trying and still to this day trying to lose weight, you know what one of the biggest struggles is? Obeying those little things on the back of the wrappers. First of all, I'm mad at the person that ever said that had to be on there. But watch this. When I obey that serving size, I mean, folks, that was news to me. I thought the serving size was the bag. But there's actually several servings in that bag. That was depressing when I discovered that. And so my favorite chip with dip is the Frito scoop. 10. You know what that is to me? A good start. Yeah, you're just warming up. Yeah. 10. Now watch this. I practiced this today. Watch this. When you get to number 10, your body still wants 11 through 50. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Amen. But Christ destroyed that power. And so you can right there decide, I don't want any more of this. Because it's not good for my body. It's not going to lead to a good visit with my doctor. It's not going to look good in a suit. So on and so forth. I do not have to desire. Watch this. That's a choice. So church, because of the cross of Christ, the world, the devil in the flesh has been crucified unto you, but you've been crucified unto all the appetites of the flesh. If you sin now, you're choosing to. You are. And that's a sin. And it has to be repented of, and it has to be let go of, and you've got to change. You've got to choose to put the power of Christ into action. You've got to literally boast in the cross of Christ. I don't have to do this because Jesus set me free. Boast in the cross. Not only has the world's hold on you been broken, not only has our desire for the world has been severed, but our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible says in Colossians that you and I are positionally placed in Christ. When God looks at you, He doesn't see you sitting right here. He sees you sitting in Christ in heaven. You're a finished product, church. The glory of the cross is that you and I are positionally in the glory of heaven right now. Point number two, it has the power to do what the flesh cannot. Look at verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So Paul is saying, you know, what those guys don't understand, what Judaizers don't understand, is that their circumcision means nothing to God. You and I can do nothing to commend ourselves to God. But you refraining from circumcision doesn't commend you to God either. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. The power of the cross has the power to do what the flesh cannot. You and I do not have the power to say no except through the cross of Christ. Once we come to Jesus as our Savior, now we have His power to say no to our flesh. Point number three, it has the power to bring salvation. Look at verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, we said that. Verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. So what's the rule? The rule is what Christ did on the cross, and that alone procures salvation. Any man, woman, boy, or girl that believes can be saved. So, here we are today. We're left looking at the cross and the power of the cross. I shared with the first service that it never ceases to amaze me. I believe truly when I first started that I was not very clear in how someone could come to faith in Christ. I've tried to change that. I've tried to be very clear as to what it takes for a person to come to faith in Christ. But in 30 years of ministry, I've talked to people that I know they have sat through months, if not years, of faithful preaching, if you will, and they're still unclear as to what it takes or as to whether they are truly saved or not. And church, please hear me. This pastor today would get on my knees and do and beg whatever I have to do to make sure that you know exactly what it takes to accept Christ and to make sure that you know that you know that you know that God forbid if you or I die tonight that we'd go straight to heaven when we die. There's nothing more important. Hey, folks, it's May. This is more important than tomatoes growing. Amen. This is more important than flathead catfish. That's saying something. This is more important than your favorite thing. You've got to make sure that you know that you know that you know that you are saved. How do you do that? The Bible says that no man can come to God unless the Holy Spirit draws him. And so, if you have ever, ever sensed, felt, heard with your heart the Holy Spirit calling you to true salvation, you're ready to be saved. If you have heard that and did not follow up with it, then you need to check your salvation. Thinking you're saved is not enough. Being baptized is not enough. You must know that you have repented. That means changed your mind. Repented means you're going this way, sin, and you turn and say, Lord, I know, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe, as 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We call it the divine trade. Jesus is saying right now to someone in this building, if you'll take my sonship, I'll take your sin. And every man, woman, boy, and girl that says, deal. You're saved. You're absolutely saved. So the Holy Spirit draws you, and then you repent. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you've never, ever done that, I'm begging you to do that. As the musicians come, will you stand? I'm going to ask Brooklyn and anyone that needs to go with her to go prepare for the baptism. I will exit here in just a moment. Brother Gavin, would you receive folks? I think Brad's downstairs, yes. So, Brother Gavin, if you'll receive folks. This is an invitation. We're inviting you to come. If you've never, ever been saved, you come. Brother Gavin will send you as someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to do your will and way in this service today. If there's someone here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, we beg that they'll be saved, for it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Let's sing.